You know what? I love God. He's so gracious and good. And it's amazing what he does in my life because, you know, week after week, I seek to take the Word of God and to share it with my family. And he always seems to give me living examples of what we're going to talk about in my own life. And since I'm not on Facebook, we'll have a little FaceTime. I'll share with you about my life, okay? You know, we're focusing today on a subject that God cares about deeply. And that is that he would say, you know, that it's easy to love lovable people. Amen? It's not so easy to love difficult people. And how many of us have difficult people in our lives? So tell me the Word of God's not relevant when he focuses on how to love difficult people, okay? I had a living example of that this week. Here, I got this letter in the mail this week. You've all gotten these kinds of letters. I get them infrequently, and what I normally do is I throw them in the trash. Usually I don't even open them because you can tell by the, you know, the envelope that it's what this is. Well, it really wasn't to me. It was to Chris. Congratulations, Chris. And there's a cruise ship at the top. Got it? Congratulations, Chris. In celebration of our grand opening in your area, you are going to receive an 8-day, 7-night cruise for two on board Norwegian Cruise Line, leaving from a major port within the United States. Bonus! Call within 72 hours and you will also receive two round-trip airfares leaving and going to a major airport within the continental U.S. We have been trying to contact you. In parentheses, this is not a timeshare or land sale offer. Toll free, 1-8, gives a number. You can call Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Now, I was bored. I thought, I'm going to give these guys a call. And I'm ready because, if they, you know they're wanting to sell something or some scam or something, you know. So I'm ready. You know, I call, and it's some world travel, company and says, what's your offer code number? And I give them my offer code number is 2570. And they say, we would like to, be able to offer to you, a 90-minute presentation, about what our company offers. There is no obligation whatsoever. And if you come and you, enjoy the 90-minute presentation, then you will receive the cruise. If you book your appointment now, I will give you two free airfare tickets. So I'm thinking to myself, my time's not worth that much. I'll sit through a 90-minute thing because I don't know if you know it, but I can say no. Pretty definitively, but I want a cruise, and I want airfare for nothing. Don't we all want everything for nothing? So we schedule our 90-minute presentation. I'm kind of curious about this, anyway. I'm thinking, what do these people do? What are they offering? I'm thinking, hey, that'd be kind of interesting. So we schedule it for yesterday at noon at the Marriott Hotel, some hotel. So Chris and I, we hop in the car and we're right on time because you got to be 15 minutes early. So we're right on time. We walk into the lobby of the hotel and I say, I'm here for the travel deal. And he said, oh, it's not here. It's 1 mile down the road at the Oxford Suites. Really? Because they called me yesterday. They called me on Friday. They said, we'll call you with a confirmation. Say, and you must answer the phone, and you must say yes to the confirmation. So I'm waiting by my phone all day. Not really. So they call, you know, and confirm that, you know, and do you know where it is? It's at the, you know, Marriott, and do you know the directions to the Marriott? You know, I mean, they make a big deal out of, okay, here's the hotel. Do you know the directions? They sent me directions by email. I mean, big deal. The day before the big presentation, and I get there, and oh, they're not here. Well, where are they? They're at the Oxford Suites. When did this happen? That happened about a week ago. A week ago! And they call me and annoy me with, do you have directions to the, okay, you got me? Already I'm a little irritated. We get in our car, another couple's walking from their car, and I'm wondering if maybe they're the same thing. I thought of telling them, hey, if you're here for the travel thing, it's a mile down the road. But I didn't. I held back. So we go a mile down the road. We go to the Oxford Street. Hey, I'm here for the travel deal. And they send us downstairs to the underfloor. And you get off the elevator, and 4 feet from the elevator door is, you know, they got this small hallway, and there's a desk sitting right there with this young woman behind it. And she says, and then there's a long, you know, wall of chairs, and there are people sitting in these chairs. So it's kind of chaotic, you know. But I walk in, and, well, welcome. Are you here for the travel? Yes, we are. I said, you know, we went to the wrong hotel. Oh, yes, we changed. Well, what do you mean you changed? I said, you know, they bugged me yesterday, you know, off the charts with, you know, directions to the hotel, you know, and, well, they must not have gotten the notification. Okay. So please fill this out. So we sit, you know, along with the other folks. And while I'm filling out this, you know, long form, they come and they call people, and they're kind of, you know, taking them by twos into a room, and I can hear that there's, you know, activity going on in the room. So I'm thinking, you know, there's a big presentation. And so I fill out the form and I give it to them, and in, you know, the elevator door opens, and it comes the couple that I saw at the other hotel. And they said, yeah, you know, we went to the wrong hotel, and I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry about that, you know. And so, so I fill out my form, I give it to them, I'm sitting there waiting obediently, and the elevator opens, and out walks a couple, and they said, we went to the wrong hotel. I says, we all did. You know, I said, you know, so far, this is a pretty classy outfit we're dealing with here. Out loud, I said. We're sitting there obediently, and, you know, they come in, and they get two more couples, and, you know, it's kind of clearing out. And then the couple that came after us, they came and called their name, which I don't want to be rude. I wanted to say, whoa, we were here before them, but I didn't. I just, And pretty soon this young woman that's behind the desk, she gets up and she prances around the front. She said, Mr. and Mrs. Wagner, would you follow me? And, you know, she takes us to the elevator, there was another couple that had gone in the elevator, you know, with a salesman before, and so, okay. So she's going to take us to where we go, and we get upstairs to the lobby, you know, and the door's open. She, you know, we all get out, and she says, we have overbooked today, you seem to be people that wouldn't appreciate a 90-minute presentation, so we're going to give you your free gift, and you can go home. Okay, now, I get the point. She thinks I'm a difficult person. She is wrongly assuming that I'm a problem. So how does she deal with a difficult person? Get him out of the building. That was her strategy. I took my free gift and danced home. I'm not on the cruise ship yet, but I got a certificate that says I get a free cruise. I got a certificate that says I got two free airfare tickets, and I didn't have to sit through their 90-minute presentation. Say again?
How long were you waiting?
How long was I waiting?
Yeah.
Not long. 10 minutes? 15? So, it pays off to be a difficult person. That's not the point of Romans chapter 12. But it does show how she dealt with a difficult person, which is the way that we sometimes deal with difficult people, is try and get away from them as far as we can. You get the point? Okay, let's go. Again, has nothing to do with anything, but I had to share it. Can you believe that she thought I was a difficult person? Something wrong with her discernment. I was just saying. This is some classy outfit we're dealing with here. Romans chapter 12, would you open your Bibles to page 790? What about the difficult people in your life? It could be the person that you work with who does whatever she can to advance while your efforts seem to go unnoticed. It could be somebody at work that just annoys you beyond all measure. Could be another person that holds a view about a subject that is very dear to your heart, that is in opposition to what you you hold dear. It could be just somebody that bugs you. How do you deal with difficult people in your life? How do you deal with people that bug you? Are you aware of the tremendous advantage that frogs have over humans? They can eat anything that bugs them. Okay, now you're difficult people. Wouldn't it be great if we could consume our relational problems rather than letting them consume us? What bugs you about people? What bugs you about somebody in your life? Is it that people that have an inconsistency in their life that they bug you? Or it could be inflexibility, or it could be that there's no give and take, or it could be that they are self-centered. Could be that they are gossipers. What is it? Yeah. Dealing with difficult people. It's easy to love lovable people. It's way hard to love and deal with difficult people. How do I react to difficult people? Kind of like Nancy. With Nancy and Sluggo. Sluggo says, that new kid in school is a big fathead. And Nancy says, come on, you shouldn't call people names like that. I never call people names. And Slucko says, well, I just got mad when he said that you had a big nose. And Nancy says, what else did that big fathead say? Doesn't take much to fire us up, does it? Many Christians have guilt in their relationships with other people because of those hard-to-love people. Christians are taught clearly, Romans chapter 12, verse 14 says what? It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, you add to that what Jesus says when he says in Matthew 5, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, then turn to him the left. If anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your overcoat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, the perceived point that we get from that is let everyone take advantage of you. And the counterpoint is, I am not going to let people take advantage of me. Is that not true? And so therefore the result is guilt. Guilt in dealing with people that are difficult, people that have hurt you, people that bug you. Oftentimes what happens is guilt, because the assumptions that we Christians make are this: if you're really a Christian, you'll get along with everyone. If you're really a Christian, you'll like everyone. If you're really a Christian, you'll never have disagreements with anyone. And that's the assumption. And the reality is, no, no, no. Those are not true assumptions. Verses 9 to 17 in chapter 12 tell us so, on how to deal with difficult people. Now, we've already looked at 14 to 17. Verse 18. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For as written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here is the point. I want to make three points that you get from verses 14 to 17 here. Ready? Number one is to understand your limitations. Understand the limitations of your responsibility. I want you to look at verse 18 and notice it and live it, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, and as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Do you know what that says? That says, point number one, you are not going to get along with everyone. You're not. Notice it says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, if possible, indicating that it always won't be possible to live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Paul is saying that you are not expected to do the impossible. You are only expected to do what is possible, what is within your control. Do you understand that? Paul is saying that you are not expected to do the impossible, which is to control the other person. As far as it depends on you, you're responsible for you. You are responsible for you. The other person is responsible for them. So what's important in your relationship with other people is to make sure that you are responding like God would have you respond. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. In fact, that's what's so frustrating in life. Life would be so much more satisfying if everyone would merely respond to me like I want them to. Wouldn't it? Keep trying to tell my wife that. We would be so much happier if you just acted like I wanted you to act. Say what I want you to say. Do what I want you to do. And she don't. Of course, I don't either. Amen? Anybody with me? Or is it just me? No, it's not just me. Paul shows us. He experienced in Antioch when he was a big hit with the Gentiles, but the Jews ran him out of town on a rail. He shows us the point, and it is this. You can't please all the people all the time. You're not going to be a hit with everybody. Everybody's not going to be attracted to you. Everybody's not going to be enamored with you. So Paul shows us that. It was true in his life. It's going to be true in ours. What about Jesus? Jesus experienced rejection in his own hometown. He taught just like he had everywhere else, but this time he was met with resistance. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Mary, down the street? Doesn't he have brothers, James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? Who does he think he is? He performed no miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus shows us the point that sometimes those you live with are the difficult people in your life. Jesus showed us that. And it's true. Sometimes those people are in our home. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. We cannot control other people, but God says you can control you. That's why in verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with those who and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low esteem. Do not be conceited. He's saying, bless those who curse you. Bless those who hurt you. That's as far as it depends on you. But that's not all. Because there's a point. Somebody hurts me, I'm supposed to bless them. They are in the wrong, and I'm supposed to bless them. What about what they did? They should have to suffer. Amen? They should have to know that they're wrong. Amen? I'm not getting a lot of response here. That's why point number two is critical. And that is, justice is not your responsibility. Would you look at verse 19? Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Any of us tempted to engage in a little revenge? You hurt me, I want to hurt you. You wronged me, I want you to be wronged. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Whose responsibility is justice? It's God's responsibility. And there truly has to come a point at which we release our revenge, our temptation to revenge, that we release that to the Lord. To say, you know, God is going to settle the score, whatever that score is in your life. God is going to take care of that, and I need to trust Him with that and to be released. But it's frustrating to us. It's frustrating to me. I struggle with this because justice is a big thing with me. And so to release that is difficult because, you know, in my mind, I think, you know, you fall off your bicycle, you break your leg, you go to the hospital, they fix it, you stagger around on crutches for a while. Then rather gingerly you start to walk normally again. There's such a thing as putting something to right. There's something to be said for fixing it as gently as possible. You can fix a broken leg. You can fix a broken toy. You can fix a broken car. So why can't we fix injustice? Why can't I fix that? It isn't for a lack of trying. We can't fix a broken relationship when it involves somebody else, because I cannot control them. You cannot control them. You can control who? You. I can control me. Now, I think some of the answer in our broken relationships comes from Jesus when he says, love your neighbors as yourself. You know, it took a while for me to get this. You know, it's not so much an admonition, it's also a reality. We love others as we love ourselves. We do love others to the degree that we love ourselves. and the difficult people that we come into contact with, they do love themselves and others as much as they love themselves. In other words, difficult people oftentimes, most time, all the time, have things behind what they say, how they act, that is driving them. We don't know what that is, but there is hurt. Because you do know that hurt people, right? And so it really comes to the point, according to Romans chapter 12, where I let God settle the score. And I release it. Because if I don't release it, it will eat me up. It will eat you up. We need reality to dictate our response. All too often we react to people negatively because we perceive their nastiness as personal, when point in fact there is something in them that is driving them. It's not personal. It has nothing to do with us. You know, if somebody is nasty to you at work, you know, you think, wow, what did I do to you? Well, you nothing. They've got something going on in their lives, and you need to bless them and let God settle the score. Got it? Finally, what Paul says here is we need to use the master's too hot to handle technique of loving difficult people. I love this one. The too hot to handle technique, I call it. Nowhere else in the world will you hear it called like that, but I call it that. You know what it says? It says in verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. Bless those who curse you. Verse 14. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. That sounds violent. It sounds kind of good. Doesn't it? Or is it just me? You know, it's easy to bury the hatchet with people that get it and say, oh, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Which usually only happens in our dreams. It's not so easy to deal with a person that doesn't get it. And so what God says is what you need to do is you need to love people that are unlovable. You need to bless those who curse you. You need to feed them, give them gifts, you know, lavish them with love, because as you do, it will be so weird to them, because who acts that way? I'm mean to you, and then you love me, you give me gifts, you feed me, you give me drink, you're nice to me, you compliment me, you bless me. Are you kidding me? God says there is an amazing thing that happens when you bless those who curse you. When you feed your enemy, when you give the, you know, drink to your enemy. Because in essence what that does is heap burning coals on their head. Now that has a two-fold prong to it. That is, on the one hand, it's heaping coals of love on their heart that will melt them and draw them to repentance. That's your hope. But if that doesn't work, then as you have given them more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace, God's justice kicks into gear, and it even becomes more severe for the burden of their heart that they are resisting God, resisting forgiveness, resisting love. That's what Paul's talking about here. There is this heaping coals of fire. There's something that happens when you counter, you know, evil, when you counter, you know, cursing, when you counter that with grace, then evil doesn't win. The last verse in chapter 12 is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With grace, with goodness. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Well, okay, now what does that mean, as far as it depends on me? That means you bless those who curse you. That means that those that are, you cannot get through to, that you heap burning coals onto their soul. You love them, and they will think you are strange. What are you doing? What are you doing? I told you a few weeks ago, I keep referencing Paul McGackey, this person that was ugly and critical and never changed, you know, Paul McGackey. Well, this church was filled with challenging people. Alberta Barr was another one. You know, and an old lady that ran her mouth every week with great abundance. And she would go to the kitchen afterwards where a bunch of her cronies would gather, and she would rip me apart. She didn't like the way that I dressed. She didn't like my mustache. She didn't like my sermons. She didn't like my leadership. She didn't like, you know, my smug walk. Every week. And, you know, I had one ally in the room, and she came to see Alberta's, you know, this is what she said this week. You know, this happened week after week after week. Finally, I said, okay, I just need to go see Alberta. So I did. I went and visited her, and I held her hand, and, you know, I sat down with her. I listened to her about her whole life, and, you know, I loved her, and, you know, I complimented her, and I complimented her little apartment, and, you know, I just heaped burning coals onto every available coal on Alberta. And then after that, every time I saw her at church, I don't care if I was talking to somebody. When I saw Alberta, I'd make a beeline to Alberta. I'd put my arms around her and hug her. And at first it was, you know, but I'd hug her and I'd compliment her on her dress or the way she smelled, you know, and over weeks, you know, I just made it all heaping burning coals on her. About, you know, 7 months later, this was in the fall when I did this, and in the spring, she came to see me one afternoon, and she had a little pot with a flower in it. And on her balcony, a little balcony of her apartment, she had a box with the little garden in it where she was growing flowers. And so the first flower that bloomed, she wanted me to have it. This heaping thing worked. And after that, Alberta was one of my good friends. You know, it's not monumental, but truly, you know, I don't know what was going on in Alberta's heart that made her so, you know, bitter and why she chose me as the focus. It really didn't matter. But I was obedient, and truly, it was not because I felt like it. Because what I felt like doing is putting her in her place. She's talking about the pastor of the church. Big deal. I needed to bless those who cursed me, and I needed to love her and to heap burning coals of grace and love. And that's what God calls us to do with the difficult people in our life, people that have hurt us, because we are released in the process, and God is glorified, but that opens a door for repentance on the part of the other person. You know, when we're mean back, it just exacerbates the evil. And he says in the last verse, don't be overcome by evil, but, you know, have good overcome that. You know, there's a poem that was written, you know, in a time of persecution. It says, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow, but do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. Give the world the best you've got and you'll get kicked in the teeth. But give the world the best you've got anyway. Bless those who curse you. And don't be overcome by evil, but overcome, you know, let grace overcome that. That's God's word for us today, relevant as all get out. Amen? Amen? Father, we give to you the difficult people in our lives. And we would ask, Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to put into play Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. That we would be able to bless those who curse us. That we would be able to love them in spite of themselves, as far as it is possible that we would try and be at peace with them. And when we are met with resistance, that we would overwhelm them with grace, giving them what they need, giving them goodness, and in a hope, Lord, that it would soften their heart. But if not, that we release them to you. You are the one that will mete out justice. Everything will be righted one day, and so we're going to trust you with that. So, Lord, we give all this to you. We give our relationships to you. We give our heart to you, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.